Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The worried father looks down at his sleeping son. He used to love to watch him sleep. At rest was the only time he's ever still, his family would joke. But now sleep doesn't hold calm or restfulness. The boy is feverish and restless, never really deeply asleep nor fully awake. The father kisses his son so gently, then heads out into the early morning. He has a long way to go. They have tried everything, but nothing has made his son better, and now he is near death. But the father won't give up. He's heard that the man Jesus, the one who works miracles, is back in Cana. It's a long walk, halfway across Galilee, but it will only take a few days. He has to find out if this Jesus will help his son. Finally, he reaches Cana and begins to ask around, "Do you know the man Jesus? Is he here? Where can I find him?" People begin to point him to the courtyard outside the synagogue where the men often gather to talk. When he gets there, he finds the young man he is seeking.
Yes, it's right in the front. I can see.
Although he is an official addressing a simple laborer, he is respectful. "Sir, my son is so sick, near to death. I believe you can help him. Will you come?" He doesn't know what he expected, but the man's response surprises him. He looks around at all the people gathered to listen to him and says, "You all look for signs and wonders to believe." The father is startled. Of course, he has heard stories of the wonders this man can do. That's why he has come so far. And so he asks again, "Please, will you come and heal my boy?" And Jesus replies, "Go home. Your son lives." Then he turns back to the people he is speaking with. That's all. The father turns and heads back to Capernaum. Let's stop here for just a moment. What is going on with this father right now? On the one hand, Jesus seems to have granted his request. Jesus says the boy lives. It seems like a promise. Yet Jesus has not done what the man expected. He'd hoped that Jesus would come home with him, would lay hands on the boy, would pray over him. Something that would make it feel more real. His wife has prepared for an honored guest, but he walks home alone, believing, trusting, full of hope, even though he has not yet seen the truth of Jesus' words. This moment, so brief in the story, but so long in the living of it, this is the place in the story where we find ourselves. We linger in the middle of this story as we linger in our own anxieties and fears. This is the part of the story that describes what it means to live a life of faith. Walking forward into the unknown,
step after step. I'm clicking on audio and I'm not getting any.
Carrying so many worries and hopes within us. We are anxious about a pandemic that has gone on so much longer than any of us expected. And about political unrest and violence in our country and in the world. We are anxious about our congregation's future. And for many of us, there are personal worries as well. Illness, financial pressure, strained relationships. We linger with the worried father in the story. And we feel what he feels, wanting to trust and believe, wanting to hope, wanting to see with our own eyes the wonder of a happy ending. In the weekly podcast from Luther Seminary, Professor Craig Kester says, "This is our life of faith. We live, we act, we move, we set out on a journey in which we have to trust that life will be the outcome. That is what it means to live by faith in the Gospel of John. You trust in a promise that you hope is true, because what is the alternative? Despair, loss of hope? There is no life there. This is how John, the writer of the gospel, understands faith: believing in what is not seen, trusting in Jesus, not because you've seen the signs and wonders, but because you have met Jesus himself and recognized that in him is the light and the truth. And so the father walks home alone on the road, full of trust, yet still the voices of doubt whisper in his head, full of hope, yet longing to see in that moment the truth of his son's recovery. Finally, he meets members of his household coming toward him on the road. "Your son lives," they tell him. "He lives. The God of life has prevailed with a simple word over sickness and death." Of course, it doesn't always turn out this way. We know that sometimes our prayers for healing are answered in the way that we hope, and sometimes they are not. Sometimes healing and wholeness is given in spite of continuing illness. Sometimes the journey of faith is a journey through grief and hardship, yet still trusting in the God who loves us and walks with us. I have a friend who is a constant and amazing witness to me in this regard. Some years ago, she had uterine cancer and she received treatment and lived cancer-free for a few years. And then the cancer returned, this time as nodes in her lungs. So she began treatment again. And some months it seemed to be working. The nodes would shrink a little bit, and some months there was no change at all. Then in the fall, she began to have seizures, and they discovered a mass in her brain. A few weeks ago, she had surgery, and it is a brain tumor. And so she is beginning 6 weeks of daily radiation. Through it all, my friend stays positive and filled with faith and trust. She sees in each day the ways that God is present with her, in the love of friends and family, in the beauty of the world, in the joy of her daughters as they become strong and lovely young adults, in her congregation that surrounds her with love and care, and in the little positive outcomes, a smaller node or a day without a seizure. I am sure that she has times when she is tired and fed up, days that she struggles with doubt and fear. But she chooses to show the world courage and faith. She chooses to continue to love God and to trust in God, to live in God's light, and to share that light in the world however she can. I admire her so much, and so many others like her, so many in our community of faith who give witness when they are in the midst of or have come through hardships. Those who give testimony to God in the midst of the most difficult challenges and the hardest days. Artist and writer Jan Richardson is known for her beautiful poems and blessings. She wrote a piece about Epiphany that I've carried around with me for the last month since my friend Nicolie shared it with me. It speaks to journeys, such as the journey of the wise man, the journey of the father on his road home, the journey of faith that we all live day by day. May her words bless you as they have blessed me and give us courage to continue walking in faith, even in these hard days. If you could see the journey whole, you might never undertake it, might never dare the first step that propels you from the place you have known toward the place you know not. Call it one of the mercies of the road that we see it only by stages as it opens before us, as it comes into our keeping single step by single step. There is nothing for it but to go, and by our going, take the vows the pilgrim takes, to be faithful to the next step, to rely on more than the map, to heed the signposts of intuition and dream, to follow the star that only you will recognize. To keep an eye open for the wonders that attend the path, to press on beyond distractions, beyond fatigue, beyond what would tempt you from the way. There are vows that only you will know, the secret promises for your particular path, and the new ones you will need to make when the road is revealed by turns you could not have foreseen. Keep them, break them, make them again. Each promise becomes part of the path. Each choice creates the road that will take you to the place where at last you will kneel to offer the gift most needed, the gift that only you can give before returning to go home by another way. May we journey in faith together, my friends, and shine our light in the world in the name of Jesus. Amen.